There's a lot going on in Ramban in Parshas Vayigash. Over Shabbos, we're going to take a peek at a somewhat famous Ramban. Perek Mem Vav Pasuk Tes Vav. We're not going to take a look at that now. This is one of the first places he discusses the concept of Nisim Nisarim, which he assures us he will be returning to again and again. And which Shem of the course of Chumash Shmos have a chance to look at the inside. It's very fascinating. He talks about how old was Yocheved, how old was he trying to figure out, even Ezra is bothered. Still working the chronology. It seems like Avram and Sarah are not the only ones who are having children at a very advanced age. How come the Chumash isn't highlighting that? Was everyone sold? Was not everyone sold? Ramban talks about that some length. But I want to take a look at now is a very short Ramban that you could very easily miss. It talks about the last 15 psukim in Vayigash. So often the way Mini Gisrael has it organize the weekly sedras, and particularly in Chumash Bereishis, is this sort of many sedras in Bereishis in particular have like an appendix. At the end of Yishlach, you have all the Toldos Seisa. And the Chayasari have all the Toldos Yishma. Maybe we spoke about the time. This Gerard has an approach to what the significance is, or what message the Chumash is trying to convey with all the details of Yichas of Shmuel's children, the Yichas of Esav's children, if you guys take a look. This is Brisker Rav in the Sefer HaChumash, in the Chibur, not in the stencils. Ramban points out the end of a Yigash, very strange. 15 psukim. You take a look at the Ramban and Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Yudal. Vayilakeit Yosef is called Kesef. This is where the Pasuk Gil already said that the Ra'av had developed and continued to build as Yosef had interpreted from the dreams of Pharaoh. And the Pesukim go on to talk about the way Yosef puts his plan into action and slowly releases the food they stored in the Shnos HaSava and sells it and collects, over time, collects all the capital in the Mitzrayim in today's Pharaoh. First the liquid cash, and then the real estate, and then the people. And the people step by step. And he aggregates all of the wealth of Mitzrayim in the hands of Pharaoh. So the Ramban, Kedarko, and the short Rambans, is a very, very sharp question, which he doesn't make explicit, but he's clearly employing. See, Perikos of Zev, the Gomor, Inu, B'chol, HaParshim. The Torah tells us this story and finishes out the topic. Why? And that's the question. Well, we need to hear this. Yosef did many, many things over the course of his tenure of decades as the executive vice president of the Egyptian Empire. He obviously was involved in a whole host of political projects, which were important at the time, and he did a good job. But the Chumash doesn't record that. The Chumash doesn't record 99% of what Yosef did. The Chumash doesn't record 99% of what any figure in Tanakh did or said. We only hear the Nevuah Shehutzra Chuludorus. So who needs to know about the details of it because it's a makkah for parsonage? At the end, it says that he exempted the clergy from taxes. That's a makkah to have a clergy exemption. That's probably not why it's in Chumash. So let's talk about Shach. Ramban, very subtle Ramban. I think it requires two readings. It requires many chazars, but at least two. To tell us that Chumash is trying to convey to us Yosef's strengths. Yosef's milas, b'chachma v'tuna v'das, v'chi haya ish amunim. That he was a person of loyalty, maybe a person of integrity and honesty. So he'd be kol ha-kesef beis paro. All this wealth landed where it was supposed to land, in the royal treasury. And there was no slush fund. None of the cash got diverted and embezzled into a private Yosef account. Now, where would a private Yosef account be? This is before electronic banking. This is before banking. This is like physical gold bullion. Where would this go? So he said, either it would be Matmoni Mitzrayim v'Eretz Mitzrayim. You have to have some physical place, some hidden spot somewhere in Mitzrayim where he would be hiding all of his wealth. All the Shalom Eretz Canaan, or could have been offshore. Could have been the Swiss bank account. Could have sent it out of the country to Eretz Canaan and squirrel away private fortune. You think about it for a moment, the amount of wealth that passed through Yosef's hands over the course of just a few years. Staggering. I don't know whether this would be in contemporary terms, hundreds of billions of dollars, maybe trillions of dollars. The GDP of the country, the entire wealth of the country, is passing through Yosef's hands over the course of a couple of years. And we do know archaeologically that the Egyptians were doing some sort of accounting, but it's hard to imagine that there was that much oversight over Yosef. He could have gotten away with diverting a percentage. No one was watching. No one knew. Everyone trusted Yosef. He could have easily, a couple of billion dollars could have disappeared into private Yosef accounts. No one would have been the wiser. But think about the Nisayon. When you think about the Ramban, it's certainly arguable that this Nisayon far, far exceeded the Nisayon of Eshes Potiphar. Think about that. For a couple of years, Mamashi could have been, he was probably living in comfort, in great comfort as it was. But as we know, you don't have to follow the news that much to know that people enjoy having lots of cash, even if there's no way they could possibly spend it. Could have been easily a billionaire, a trillionaire. And Nasan Lamel, Habotech Bo, Kol HaKasa. He could have, and the opportunity was there, the motive was certainly there, and he chose not to. Efshi Vefshi, Moasa Avishabashwayam Gezlai, totally could have, but he chose not exactly in the sense of that medrash. But he chose not to. Hakadosh Baruch Hu wants me to be an honest person. Nasan lamelach haboteach bo kol hakesef. Everything went to the king. Number one, the cash. And number two, the real estate. And number three, the people. Not only that, it sounds like he's saying point number one is chiyaya ishamun. Point number one is that he's the most yukno for us. And the same way Yosef HaTzadik, the Medrash says, that what gives him the strength to only be Nisayon with Eshes Potiphar is the vision of where he comes from and who he could be. And maybe as some suggest that he looked, as Al tells earlier, he looked like his father. So he sees a vision of his father, and in that he sees his own, it reminds him, seeing that he is so connected to his father, he could be what his father is. Or maybe he sees his own reflection and notices his father in his reflection. Be that as it may, Yosef HaTzadik himself becomes a dmus yukin for us. Whether it's a carnal taiva, and you can think about Yosef HaTzadik was only being Nisayon, and Yosef HaTzadik could have been both the carnal taiva and the social taiva, this would have been an incredible step up for him. That had that type of connection with Eshes Potiphar. And he walked away because Kadosh Baruch Hu expects me to. Or it had the Dmus Dukin of Yosef in this situation etched in their minds. Statistically speaking, it's unlikely that no one in this room over the course of your professional careers will be tested with maybe not trillions of dollars, but with any sign of honesty. Any sign of to take advantage and to embezzle in some way or another, or to take advantage and to sign something that's not a lie but not 100% accurate, or to stick to the straight and narrow and live the way Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to live. Yosef HaTzadik said to the Rabban, says, look, one major function of these last 15 psukim is to etch in our minds the way Yosef was only being designed. He could have had all this cash, and no one would have been the wiser, and he did the right thing. And we've been hearing him talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu all throughout, constantly. Everything came down to Mitzrayim. He's talking about it, Ribbono Shel Olam, to everyone he meets, Kimat. So, the incredible Yirat Shamayim that he had. The Rabban says, number two, it sounds like, not only was he only being Nisayan in such a remarkable way, in such a practically inspiring way, we too could be like Yosef in this sense, but also, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's end, to see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him chen in the eyes of the people, ki Hashem hu matzliach eser yad. Rabbi Shalom gives success to those of Yir HaShemayim. So what's Rabban saying at that point? Presumably, the PR situation could have gone either way. As on the one hand, he's mamash saving the tribe. On the other hand, he totally changed the political landscape of Mitzrayim over the course of a couple of years. And he stripped the people of most of their independence and most of their freedom. But people survived, and they were able to farm, they were able to be economically self-sufficient, but they lost ownership. So public opinion could have broken either way. It could have easily been incredible animus towards Yosef. And instead, the people love him, and the people cherish the fact that he was looking out for their best interest and saved the whole country. But it could have gone either way. So how did that work? Hashem will see it. So something like Rabbi is saying there are 2 points. Yosef HaTzadik, there's what could be learned in terms of the inspiration of Yosef HaTzadik, in terms of how a human being can act, and the Mesilas Yesharim piece, so to speak, the Derech Hashem piece, to understand this way HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates, and that, again, like the Rabban said earlier in the parasha, but Nisim Nistarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of, in this case, he wanted Yosef not only to get the job done, but that Yosef should be successful socially or politically as well. There is, however, one hanging phrase. What's the hanging phrase? One phrase that we haven't been in the fires yet. And that's Chachma Tuna V'das. What's that? Odia Miles Yosef B'Chachma V'Tuna V'das. V'chi Haya Ish Amunim. They tell us his Miles in wisdom and insight, and that he was an incredibly honest person. We got all into the incredibly honest person. What's with the Chachma Tuna V'Das? Chabad. Chachma Tuna V'Das. What does that mean? Regardless, well, what did he say about Yosef? And remember, he tried to miyash the kasha. So it could be there are three. That's some Talmid earlier this week said maybe it means, despite the fact that Chachma Tuna V'Das, he was still only being Nisayan. Meaning, I laid this out, but I wanted to make another suggestion too. Maybe a little suggestion. So two Talmid suggestions this week. Either he was such a genius, such a financial genius, he could have so easily worked the system. He could have so easily embezzled and left no tracks, and yet he was still a person of integrity. Or he was such a brilliant genius, and when you're a brilliant genius, there's an even greater nisayon of falling into kol chivotim yadi aso sechayal azeh, and forgetting what Zechariah told us in last week's haftarah, v'lo b'chayim v'lo b'kachim beruchim. So he could have fallen, he's such a brilliant fellow, could have so easily fallen into all me, and I create all this, and let me just take some for myself, and that gaiva, and that self-centeredness, and he managed, despite all of that brilliance, and all of the success, to maintain a clarity, a humble clarity about who he was, and what was really important. So that could be. Or, what else? What do you hold? Yes, yeah. He does not sound like a contrast. I thought, I don't know if you have other suggestions, I thought maybe 2 separate things. Maybe there are 3 points about Rabban's thing. Number one, to see Yosef's miles in Chachma Tuna V'Das. Got to figure what that means. Number two, to see his miles in terms of being an Ish Emunim. He was such an incredibly, overwhelmingly honest person. Number three, from Rabbi Shalom's end, that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him this this hatzlacha, almost miraculous hatzlacha, that people saw things as they were and loved him for the positive things that he did rather than being upset for the loss of their freedom. What does it mean? It means to tell us that Yosef HaTzadik was a genius. What's the point? Not just the problem with that is not only the problem that Huttner famously raises in the letter, in the Pacha Yitzchak letters, about how biographies that make out every tzaddik to be a genius from age 3, and he was a baki b'shas from age 5. So Huttner says it's often not true, and it's very counterproductive, because then if I only finish out by the time I was 7, so then I may write myself off. I'm not going to be a girl. What am I going to accomplish? So it says it's often inaccurate, very unhelpful. But that's not the only problem with saying, the Rabban is saying, Miles Yosef's word that he was a genius. What's the point? Where's the Nevuah Shalom Tzvi Tzadik? He was a genius. I'm not a genius. Even if it's not demoralizing, but Yosef HaTzadik was a person of extraordinary integrity. I should strive to be that too. Good. But if he was a genius, I should strive to be a genius. Either you is or you ain't. I wonder whether Rabban means is something a little bit different.
If he means in order to be an integral person, you need to have chacham and a das. There's nothing called I'm integral without a chacham and a das. It's not the way Judaism believes. It's not part of that.
And he's not explaining chacham. He's not saying chacham and a das and being like overwhelming.
He's saying that that's the prerequisite
for integrity.
Why he was a Munim. Explaining the why. We had the other Misraim Yosef had, Chazal gave us all. But how do we know he passed? What was the Chazal said, the Chazal is Kisotim was given up with his father. Here, what's how did he pass? What's the Chazal have? So our man's saying, no, it's very, very sinister to ask. He's saying, you have to Chachum and Yadat, you know, Chumim. There's nothing to hold on an honest person without knowing Chumim.
Abiderecha homiletics. Here, okay. I think you have to work, develop a little more. Grade, you make.
No,
in the third pair. Interesting. It could be. Except you don't see that here.
No.
I don't mean. The Ramban is commenting on the Chumash. Ramban is, in other words, he's saying, look at these 15 psukim, and you'll see all these things. The Torah included, Roshan included these 15 psukim in the Chumash to show us, to teach us all these things. The question is, the Chaznish Yisod is true, but it's not on display in these psukim. Ramban is trying to explain what do you see from these psukim. There's not a freestanding machshava sefer. Ramban is interpreting the psukim. So what Chacham of Bina Vadas do you see in these psukim? You don't see him. Maybe elsewhere there are references to Yosef HaTzadik learning Torah, but here they are not. Here they are not. I think you're making another important point, which is, and it could be of Shaftel Neuberger, I heard him 2 weeks ago, Baltimore, so he mentioned the Medrash, I didn't have a chance to see. So the Medrash had a list of 30 or so parallels between the life of Yaakov and life of Yosef. Starting from backing all the way up to the fact that both of them were born to mothers who had previously grappled with infertility for a long time, all the way until both of them die in Mitzrayim and are buried subsequently back in Eretz Yisrael. And everything in between. So it could be, I haven't seen the Medrash inside, but maybe one of those 30 similarities is this, that in terms of Drus Nikon Shalaviv, what you were saying before, in fact, this was a type of Nisayon. We don't know of Yaakov being tested anything resembling Ashes Pontifar, but we do know by Yaakov being tested something resembled this. That he has all of the Tzon of Lavan, and he could have easily made stuff disappear. He wasn't dealing with the same ordinance, many orders of magnitude, and he was dealing with hundreds of, tens of hundreds of thousands of dollars. He wasn't dealing with hundreds of billions of dollars. But that's what he says to Lavan at the end. I was a person of incredible integrity. That's what Rambam writes, quoting Yaakov HaTzadik. Yaakov HaTzadik would be the model of integrity. Maybe Dibur Sidikno. Maybe, yeah.
Concepts of power describe Yosef as a Chacham and an Avon now, Yosef kind of did the follow.
Yeah, that's very, very good. At the beginning, when Yosef, and Matan pointed at the Pesukim in Nikkei, where Yosef, Mem Aleph, Lama Gimel, where Yosef is the solution seller. He turns around to Paro and says, here's your problem, and here's your solution. And there he really talks about, you need someone who's a Chacham and a Navam. A Chacham and a Navam. And here he throws in Das also.
Yeah, but here they're back twins are Chacham and Navam is.
Correct. The Chacham knows the biochemistry, knows how to preserve the Tzulam. And the Navam is able to set up a system that's actually going to, a logistics system that's going to work. Yeah, but the inviter, if it's that he is a genius, that he was able to think this through, so what are we supposed to get from it? And he adds the dust. L'chairu, working off of that, I think, and there are other indications in the case also, that Yosef HaTzadik was a person of incredible, incredible vision. Ramban is bothered, I think earlier in the week we spoke about the Ramban by the Himmel Hikiruhu, that he was expecting to see them. In the very next Ramban, Membe's test, we don't have time to see this inside, because we could take a peek. Rabban works on what was Yosef trying to do. They walk in, he recognizes them, he remembers his dreams, and all of a sudden he puts this whole system into place. So how does it all work? So Rabban seems to say, could I take a look inside, but not now, Membe's test. Rabban seems to say, I think, Rabban does say that he understood Yetim Makayim the Chalomos, and he understood the Chalomos were not just Ahab Tacha, but a Tzivoy. Sounds almost as though it was like a along the lines of how Ramban earlier understood Rivka with the Nevuah, that Yosef had took this almost like a El Tishmon, like he had a Tzivoy, this is a Harasha, he had to make this happen. Ramban writes in the Nikates, in the Beis Tes, he answered there were two dreams. One was all the 11 brothers bowing down, the other one was 11, multiple generations, the Shemesh Ereach as well as the Charas HaKochachim. So he understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asking him to stage both of those events. They walk in and he sees 10 brothers. So he would have seen 11 brothers. He would have told them, I need Yosef. And then they would bring the father down right away. But he understood that if he tells them, now they're only 10. He ended in Mekayim stage 1. If he tells them, I need Yosef, his father is running down. So apparently, Kadosh Baruch Hu wants him to first get Binyamin down without Yosef and then bring Yosef. Without Yaakov, excuse me, and then bring Yaakov. So that's why he goes through this whole extended rigmarole of how you're going to stage manage getting Binyamin down without revealing who you are. So that's why he goes through this whole plan. As an aside, he probably didn't, he may not have understood why Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do this, but that was a tzivoy. He didn't understand why Yaakov Vino was telling him to go find his brother either. But that was a tzivoy. He did the tzivoy. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him a tzivoy. We understand from our perspective, with the perspective of hindsight, we understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu is where, well, this is Kadosh Baruch Hu's way of getting Bnei Yisrael into Mitzrayim, to begin the galus that had already been moved tach in the Brisbane Absar. But the Yosef would be Mekayim that Tzivoy, and the Rabban goes on to say, Yosef has been thinking about this for a long time. He says, as soon as he got down to Mitzrayim and gets his first bit of Hatzlacha and Beis Potiphar, he understood this is probably where the nevuah is going to happen. And somehow I'm going to have a more powerful position, and they're not going to be shtachavit to me here. It must be they're going to be shtachavit to me here. And then he goes into jail, he's not really sure what's going on, and Rabban says, the moment he hears Paro's dream with the shnos harav, shnos ha-savar, about right, a decade before it happens, he understood that Rav, that's when they're going to come back down to him. He's been waiting for this moment for 9 years, and to extend for 22 years. He's a person of extraordinary vision and extraordinary planning. And it's really a remarkable thing. That Navam V'chacham, he gets yanked out of jail, and Paro says, all of a sudden he's in base Paro. He hears these dreams, and he, in his mind, is operating simultaneously on two long-term plans. A long-term plan for Mitzrayim, and a long-term plan for the Mekayim, the Mitzvah, the Harosh Shah that he's been holding on to for over a decade at that point. We all know, we know all this already. So what do we need these looking for? That was Mikates. So we see he's a man of extraordinary vision and planning. So presumably, and as you probably like your Hara, that is the Chachma Bina and the Das. And the Das. So what's with the Das?
Is it possible the Das is going to teach you he's the Ishimun? Meaning the Chachma and the one he already dealt with in previous parshas.
Maybe. Perhaps. Or maybe it's what you do see here. In other words, the Isha Munim that you see. And then how does this relate to the Chachma Bina of before? Because we saw before that he was a person of extraordinary vision and planning. What you see here is that he actually did it. He actually followed through and implemented the whole plan. There are people who are starters and there are people who are closers. There are people who are the big visionaries who have the gewaldig, the great idea that, here's what we can do. But they're not necessarily the people who get the job done. And there are other people who aren't going to be the vision guy, but you give me the plan and I'll make it happen. Yosef HaTzadik was both. Truth, that's when Ramchal talks about Masil Sasharim, talks about Zerizah, talks about Zerizah's Kodem Haschal Samaisa and Zerizah's La'achar Haschal Samaisa. Getting started and then seeing things through. Being a starter and being a closer. And a Jew, different people have different natural strengths, but you try as much as possible to develop yourself, both to accentuate your strengths, but also to try to fill in the gaps. So Yosef is not only a remarkably inspiring person in terms of the emunim, he's a remarkably inspiring person in terms of both being a person of extraordinary vision, and that we saw in Mikates, and he was lechor the first for all those fellows who are working on business. He's the first solution seller. He's the original solution seller. Right? He doesn't just take power. Okay, here, he doesn't just diagnose. Here's your problem. Here's what it means. Because here's what it means, and this is how you're going to solve it. It gives him the full package. So he was the ultimate vision person. He was also the operations person. He mamash saw it through. And that's what every Jew needs to be, to the extent possible, to have a vision of how one could grow, and have a vision of what can accomplish, communally, personally, and then to actually make it happen. That's, perhaps, is Milas Yosef B'chach B'tun V'das, that he envisioned, and he dreamt, and he actually saw it through, and he operated always with extraordinary integrity. And with that type of combination of Zerizas and Zahiras, he was Takazocha to extraordinary Hatzlacha, almost miraculous Hatzlacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu then, in terms of the way in which people received his ideas and his plans and his implementation. A lot to work on. Mishal B'zeh to be like Yosef HaTzadik. Chavr Shkoyach. This medrash beckons, Rabbi Sam.